That was just an absolute good song, wasn't it? Leads right into some of the things I've got to say. This morning she's talking about, I stand amazed about the power of God and the cross and what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Had a wonderful time here last night. I learned one thing, we're a very simple people. Anybody that can have that much fun out of one bug. Amen. Just one little, they call it a mosquito. That thing's this big. If that's a mosquito, we'll all be anemic, you know. But I just amazed how much fun we can have out of one little bug, you know, just one bug. That's all. Of course, he had a good landing strip, didn't he? And if I was a gambler, if I gambled, I'd have given 10 to 1 odds that that would have lit on Johnny Bradford's head. Wouldn't y'all? Out of every choice that had in this church. Had a good time here last night. And what we're talking about, stand amazed, I want to congratulate and thank this church. I tell you what, for a little church to put on that kind of program, I stand amazed. It's by the help of God, isn't it? I mean, the house jam full, probably 300 plus. I figure we fed 250 or so, and there was food left. And it's wonderful to be a part of a church that when there's a need and they're called on, they step up. They step up. And I thank every one of them. You know, every day I get up and thank God for the blessings he's given me. But then there come special occasions last night, knowing that you're part of a church that can put on a program like that, can show the love and the friendliness and the attitude that everybody here showed last night, the preparation of the food and setting the table and everything that went just in order, and I believe in God's will. I tell you what, it's just a special time to remind me how much I'm blessed to get to be pastor here. And I hope everybody feels just like I do about their church. I stand amazed. I stand amazed. Amen. We could have fed them 50 more hot dogs, couldn't we too, Brenda? we wasn't out of food. I tell you what, it was just a wonderful time in the Lord last night. Had a real good time. I hope everybody that attended had as good a time as I did. Like I said, we're simple folks. Have that much fun out of one bug. Just one bug, you know. Amen. It's a wonderful time. I want to look to the Lord some scripture today. Good to see everybody here. Great attendance. Great number here knowing the people we've got out. Amen. You know we got car shows going on. We got people in the Grand Canyon. I don't know if they're in it or on it or above it or what, but you know. We got several groups out, got about 5 or 6 ladies off cruising. Amen. Cruising to me used to just be going around the chow time or the rebel. Y'all don't remember the rebel, do you? You have to be a little older to remember the rebel and the cotton patch. I shouldn't have said that one, should I? Amen. Y'all hope you don't remember that one. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord and good to see everybody. Look with me, if you will, to St. John chapter 3. We're going to talk about what really matters this morning. You know, there's a lot of things happening in life, a lot of things we do, a lot of things we're concerned about. But when you boil it all down, most everything that you can touch or feel or see or have in your possession is going to go away one day. And then it's going to come down to what really matters in life. What really matters in life is what you can carry to eternity. Amen. That's salvation by the grace of God. That's through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that's what, when we pin it all down, that's what really matters, whether we've believed or haven't believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as we go into this service today, I'd like everybody to consider, you know, I'm here, I've come to worship, I've come to praise, or I've come for some reason. Amen? I can't go through the crowd and tell you what everybody's reason was for coming today, but I'm going to tell you that I'm glad you did. But everybody needs to determine that. Why am I here and what really matters in my life? You know, we've got news this week of some of our family members, a battle of cancer coming up. And as I thought about that through the week, Miss Stevens' son, and as I thought about that through the week, I thought how God blesses us and gives us opportunities to see miracles. Amen. That God's given us an opportunity to see a miracle. Isn't that something? I believe in miracles. I hope y'all do. I believe in miracles. And so God's given us another opportunity to see His power, His grace, and His miracles extended to us. What really matters? What really matters in your life? St. John chapter 3 and verse 14. St. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I want to stop after one verse. You can hold that place. We're going to come back to it in a minute. But I want you to think about this. Must lift it up, the Son of Man. Now, I want you to understand, He was lifted between the earth and the heavens. He was on the cross of Calvary, being crucified. He shed His blood for the sins of the entire world. And when it talks back to Moses, as he lifted the serpent in the wilderness, let's go back, if you would, to Numbers chapter 21. Y'all turn back there with me. Numbers chapter 21, if you'll turn there. And let's talk about the trip across the wilderness and the hardships and the trials and tribulations that came to the children of Israel and why part of them came. Now, there's hardships, there's trials, there's tribulations that come in our life each and every day. It's for correction from the Lord. I don't believe God's mad at anybody here today. If God had been mad at you, you wouldn't have made it. Amen. You can't withstand the full wrath of God and survive through it. So I don't believe God's mad at anybody here today, but there's times that He allows things come in our life for correction to show us where we made a mistake. So Numbers chapter 21, look into verse 4. And as they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And so here's the murmuring, here's the speaking against God and against Moses. Now, I'll have everybody to understand this with my understanding of the Word of God and my knowledge of God and His love towards us. Murmuring and complaining against God don't go unnoticed. Amen. You might say it in a low tone or under your voice a little bit, but God notices, and this is an upsetting thing to Him. Talking against God does not go unnoticed. These people that curse and use God's name in vain, it don't go unnoticed. Amen. I'm going to tell you, God notices and understands these things. So in verse 6 it said, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So they found themselves in a situation because they're murmuring, because they're complaining against God and against Moses. God sent the fiery serpents. Amen. They were a work of God. They weren't sent in by the enemy. They weren't sent in by the devil. They were sent in by God in the life of these people that they might understand that there's a penalty to pay for murmuring against God. Now, I'm not taking up the part of Moses, but I'm going to tell you, murmuring against God does not go unnoticed. In verse 7, then therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee, praying to the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Glory, hallelujah, praise God for forgiveness. The very people that were talking against Moses had to come to Him. Boy, that's humbling, isn't it? That somebody you've just bad-mouthed and give down the road, and I'm talking about give a hard time, and all of a sudden the situation turns around and God sends you down to them to ask for prayer. Now you talk about humility and humbling. These people had to be humbled in the sight of the Lord that when they confessed their sin, and then when they went down to Moses, they had to go to the very man that spoke against. And what did Moses do? He forgave them. You're saying, I didn't see where it said He forgave them. You're going to find He prayed for them. Can you truly pray for somebody that you hadn't forgiven? Be a tough thing, wouldn't it? I don't know if God answers those prayers or not. Of course, I'm not God. But Moses, after they'd talked against Him, after they'd chided with Him, after they'd gave Him all this gripe and all this grumble, He prayed for them. I'd like to see a little Moses in all of us today, that we could overlook the things of past and that we could truly pray for somebody. In verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, that he looketh upon it, shall live. Now here comes the promise of God. Don't that sound too simple to work? Have you ever read this and think, here's a man bitten by a fiery serpent, his sentence is death. God has Moses to make a fiery serpent, set him on a pole, and if he'll just walk by and look at it, he's going to be healed, that he's not going to die. The power, the bite of the serpent has no effect on him whatsoever. Have you ever thought that's just too easy to be true? Don't that sound too simple? That's why a lot of people don't receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They think it's just too simple. You know, I can bet that there was people in that camp bitten by the serpent that died because they wouldn't look. Because they wouldn't trust God's word. They wouldn't trust His plan for their deliverance from death. That they were seeking something else. That they were looking for something harder, I guess you'd say. And I can think that people in that camp that were bitten, that many of them probably died because they wouldn't look on the pole. We still see effects of that today. We see people die in eternal death because they won't look to the cross. Amen. They won't look to God's plan. It seems too simple. It seems too easy that, oh, if we'll believe Jesus died for the sins of the world and that He's the Son of God, that we're saved by His grace. Simple plan of salvation for each and every one of us. But there's people today that's dying that won't look to the cross. God's made the plan for us, folks. God's got it all figured out. We don't have to worry about that, or we don't have to make that plan. God took care of it on the cross through His Son. In verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So God's plan in action. God's plan that worked. There was no doubt. You're bit by the serpent. You look to the brass and a serpent and you lived. You don't look, you die. We come down to the same position in life today. That our grumbling, our unbelief don't go unnoticed by God. But He's made a way. He's made a way by the cross of Calvary that we can be saved. That if we'll look to His Son, we can live. If you don't look, you die. Eternal death. Let's go back to St. John, if you would. St. John, turn back there with me. Now, when these people were bit, I don't think there was any doubt that they knew it. Amen? Can you get bit by a snake and not know it? And I'm talking about a deadly snake. I'm not talking about some little bitty other kind of snake, but I'm talking about a deadly snake. So I believe all these people that once they were bitten, they knew they had been bit. I don't believe in doubt in their mind. They said, did I get bit? No. They'd have the marks. They'd have the place it left. They'd have the infection from it. They'd have the death setting on. So everybody that got bit knew. They said, I've been bit, so I've got to do something about it. I've either got to decide to look at this brass and serpent on the pole and live, or I've got to not look and die. And so they had to make a decision in their life. It comes down a lot of times when we really get down to what really matters in life. That we have to have this understanding that we've been bit also. It's called sin. God allows it in the world. He gives us His word to convict us of it. But we need to understand that we've been bit. Amen. That you've got a sentence of death living within you. Now God's made a way. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, very plain, it said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Amen. You're bitten. There's none righteous, no, not one. So everybody's sitting here. If you combine all the righteousness in this church, wouldn't get anybody to heaven. Because it's not about righteousness. It's about belief. It's about trust in God's plan through Jesus Christ. In Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Without Jesus Christ, you've missed the mark. Is that plain enough? Without Jesus Christ, you've missed the hope of eternal life. Because it's through what God did on the cross of Calvary. Not about our righteousness, not about what we've done, about what God's done for us. It's a gift. And you're sitting and thinking, that just seems too simple to me. And I'm not going to believe that. You'll die and burn in hell. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The same promise God gave to the children back in the wilderness about the brass serpent, God gives to us today that through Jesus Christ. Now you're not going to look at a serpent hanging on a pole. You're going to look to the cross of Calvary to find Jesus Christ. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. You know, if you just stop right there in that verse, wouldn't that be wonderful? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have should not perish, but have everlasting life. Will you look to Jesus today? Through this word and the Spirit and the power of God, convicted, knowing that we're not righteous. Knowing we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would through that, would you look to Jesus today for what really matters? What really makes a difference? Everything in this world will pass away except the works and the Word of God. Everything else will be gone one day. And it'll be just down to that point. There'll be God's grace, God's love, God's Word. We'll be going through. So what really matters? What you drive tomorrow? What you eat tomorrow? What you wear tomorrow? I figured a long time ago, anything that don't matter 100 years from now shouldn't really matter tomorrow, should it? It's the things that stand and last for an eternity. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Not for condemnation. Verse 18, very important. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not condemned. I believe Jesus Christ. You know, there ought to have been about 37 people jump up to their feet and say, I'm not condemned. Amen. I mean, if you'd set them free in a court of law, they'd have rejoiced, wouldn't they? I've been set free from greater than a court of law. Amen. I've been set free from death, hell, and an eternal punishment. Eternal separation from God. I've been set free. I'm not condemned because I believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's what it takes not to be condemned. And it goes farther, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. Not going to be a month or a year or a lifetime down the road. If you haven't believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're condemned today, and that condemnation is for eternal death. That condemnation is for the fires of hell to be cast into the lake of fire. Now that's it, folks. That's what we have to preach, and that's what God gives us to believe. So you want to be condemned or uncondemned? There could be a pardon take place right here today. Have you ever thought about that? People on death row in prison, locked up for an eternity. The governor calls down and said, I pardon them. Or in some situation, they get a presidential pardon. I pardon them. You know what they do with them? They let them go. They set them free. Never held against them again. There could be a pardon here today that's greater than a governor pardon. There could be a pardon here today that's greater than a presidential pardon. There could be a pardon from God today because you've believed on the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No longer condemned, you're pardoned. That's what really matters. In all the life that we go through, all the bumps in the road that we endure, all the up and down the hills and the mountains and the valleys, the highs and the lows, and whatever may come will all pass except this pardon from God. And it's eternal. It's good forever. You can read over in chapter 4, the woman at the well, and Jesus told her very plain, you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Praise the Lord. Said, you drink the well of Jacob, the well of the world, the well of the earth, and you'll desire a drink again. But you drink of this living water, this water that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, flows from the throne of God. Says you'll never thirst again. People that are truly saved should never have another desire to be saved again. They're not supposed to thirst again. If they're truly saved by this grace that I'm preaching this morning, by this love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll quench that thirst forever. You'll get a pardon that lasts eternity. The condemnation comes because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's no other way for salvation. You're not going to go around the cross. You're not going to go under it, but you're going to go through it. The cross of Calvary and the crucifixion that God allowed his Son to withstand and endure and go through. Eternal life, condemned, not condemned, a pardon from God is what's offered here today. Let's have a verse for song. Would anybody receive a pardon this morning? Is there anybody here that's condemned and you want to come on the other side of it and say, I'm not condemned. I'm not condemned. I've been pardoned by the work of God on the cross of Calvary. The important time in your life this morning. What really matters? What really matters? Everybody stand to your feet. Sing a verse for song. Just 1 minute. Hadn't done this in a week or two. I want to open the doors of New Salem Baptist Church. I feel the leadership of God leading me to open the doors of the church. We receive members by letter, forthcoming letter, baptism, and by certain circumstances, by statement. If God's led you to be a member of this church, we haven't had anybody join in a week or two, have we? Well, 2 weeks. That ain't too bad, but if God's led you to be a member of this church, this might be your day and your time. If God's directing you, you need to come forward. Come forward right now and say, here I come. I like what I see. I like what I feel. I want to be part of it. That's what God asks you. You want to be part of it. Amen. One more verse. We'll close out. One thing before we dismiss, I'd like at least 5 people that'll just volunteer and say, I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to pray every day. Miss Stevens has got a son that's diagnosed with cancer, and I'd like you to just fall out of your bench, walk right back there and say, I'm one of them, and I'm going to pray for him every day. Every day the sun rises, I'm going to pray for him. Need 4 or 5 prayer warriors. Y'all just huddle up around her back there. Praying for her, praying for the son, and praying for the family. Tough times brings us to a place that we learn how to pray, don't we? Learn how to pray. Amen. Anybody else need some prayer warriors? You're facing something maybe we don't know about. All right, Connor's friend Will that got burned, facing a really bad time. Let's see. Y'all come up and tell Connor that you're going to pray for him, and he can tell him. People coming this way, going to pray for him. Amen. Y'all pray for him. If there's one thing that West Church is going to start doing is taking care of our widows. Amen. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. We're going to start taking care of our widows. Sometimes we get a little bit lax. Sometimes we get a little bit involved in our own life so much we don't understand what they go through and what they face each and every day. But I'm determined that we're going to stand with them. Amen. Everybody that will stand with them, say amen.
Amen.
Well, hey, praise the Lord. All right. We're going to dismiss. Going to have service here tonight. I plan to come out and worship and praise God, don't y'all? Amen. I do. Everybody that can, come back and be with us. Pray for all the people we got on trips and vacations and several other places. We got people scattered all over the country. Like I said, they're from the probably the bottom of Grand Canyon to the top of Smoky Mountains. I don't know. That's about where they're separated from. But pray for all those folks. They get back safe and have good trips, okay? All right, any word or anything before we go? Anybody? Tommy. Oh, okay. Joan wants me to ask all the ladies, if you would, meet with her in the choir just for about two or three minutes after the service is over. This is concerning the speaker that they've got coming May the 11th, okay? They've got a motivational speaker coming. I don't know what she motivates them to do, but praise the Lord. Well, I'd call her anything I want to. But she's a speaker. One of the ladies they heard in Pigeon Forge, and she's going to be at our church on May the 11th. And anybody that's interested in coming, she'd like to meet with you just for a few minutes and get some arrangements set up and some things done. They tell me she's wonderful. Does anybody else want to vouch for her? Is she good? They say she is wonderful. Amen. So everybody that can, just meet with her 2 or 3 minutes. All right? Tommy, why don't we dismiss us to prayer, please?